Today's episode of Stance and Fits is brought to you by Exile Brewing Company. Exile currently has 14 beers on tap across various locations in Des Moines, Central Iowa, and the United States. Of course, six of those 15 beers are their flagships, and they also unveiled two new beers on Friday, which is what Fitzy and I are sipping on tonight. The Mosaic Crown is what I've got, and he's got the BDB
Barrett,
Pilsner.
Barrett Dean's Best.
There you go. So those both came out on Friday. I highly suggest you check out their brewery on Walnut Street in downtown Des Moines, or pick up a sixer of any of their beers today at your favorite local establishment. Exile Brewing Company, the sponsor of Stands and Fits, savagely pursuing quality. I haven't taken a sip of this yet, so we're going to see.
Early episode beer sampling.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's the Mosaic Crown. I think that, I'm definitely going to enjoy that.
But got some gnomes on the label there.
Yeah, we got a re-up on our Exile supply today, so we're
set to go for like another month.
Yeah,
we're a week.
Depending
on how it goes.
Right, for sure. A couple weeks at least. Maybe we'll get us to the end of football season.
Yeah,
we'll see. Happy Halloween, man! It's gonna be Halloween's probably gonna be over by the time most people listen.
Hard
to this,
believe that it's already Halloween. It doesn't seem like 2017's been going on that long.
Are you a trick-or-treat on Halloween or a trick-or-treat on Beggar's Night guy?
Halloween, personally.
Yeah, me too.
I think Beggar's Night is pretty stupid, if you ask me. I know it's a Des Moines area thing, but yeah. I grew up in southeastern Iowa, and it wasn't a thing down there, to my knowledge.
Yeah, we don't do it in southwest Iowa either. I think it's really just a Des Moines thing.
There's a specific holiday for trick-or-treating, and it's Halloween Day. So why would you designate another day to go trick-or-treating?
I personally think that Halloween is the worst holiday.
Why would you say that? What's your reasoning?
I don't know. I don't think... You know, it's pointless to me.
Well, once you get past age, like, 12...
Yeah.
Then it's not cool anymore. Like, you can make fun of it. Like, you can get dressed up and kind of, like, go as the old guy who's hip or trying to be hip, but other than that, it's pretty lame.
It's a reason for kids to get dressed up and get candy, and for college kids to get dressed up and get really drunk.
Yeah,
those are the two things that it is to me.
I know lots of college boys probably like seeing college girls get dressed up, if you know what I mean. So,
well, yeah, Iowa State or Halloween did coincide with another Iowa State victory, homecoming up in Ames, 14-7 win over TCU, four and one now. In the Big 12, tied for first in the Big 12 conference, and now the number 15 team in the initial college football playoff poll released earlier tonight.
Who would have thought that this would have happened before the season?
Who would have thought that this would have happened 31 days ago? Or
no one.
31 minus like 34 days ago when they lost to Texas or whatever it was.
Literally thinking back to the game watch for Oklahoma a month ago, I came into that day thinking, wow, we're going to get shellacked.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be downhill for the rest of the season since Park's not here. And now, four games later, we're in first place.
We're in first place. It's crazy to think about. And, I mean, obviously, we've dissected and redissected every single aspect of that game from Saturday. But I think that it seems like every game it's like, oh yeah, this is the one that perfectly personifies like the transformation of Iowa State football. But I think that one by far is the best one yet for that. Mm-hmm. There were so many points of adversity. It was, you know, you've been riding this high. You get another big game. Can you maintain it? And then they did more than that. Defense played maybe its best game it's played all year. John Haycock says tonight he thinks they didn't even play their best football.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, to see them come out with that win, that gives me confidence that they can beat anybody. Oklahoma gave me confidence they can play with anybody, but this one gives me confidence that they can literally beat anybody that they're going to have to play.
Yeah, especially the last few years. You look at Iowa State and you think, man, their offense isn't, they aren't world beaters in offense, but they're also not terrible. But you've always thought of the defense as kind of like the, oh, they're just going to let up a billion yards every year. But then seeing that it was the defense that carried Iowa State through this TCU game, it was really the anti-Iowa State.
Well, it's like I told Rob on the Monday rundown, when they got into those situations on the goal line, I was still confident, like, they're not going to score. Mm-hmm. You know, or even if they did score, it was going to be a field goal.
Yep.
And they're going to be in a position to where they can, you know, take control back of the game. And they just figure out a way to make those plays in those, you know, adverse situations, kind of that Jay Jordan calls them,
mm-hmm.
that we haven't seen an Iowa State team be able to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least since I've covered the team, probably been a while, really, since any Iowa State team has been able to bounce back like that.
Mm-hmm. It was the feeling where they go out on the field, and you're like, wow, they could honestly get a three and out whenever they wanted to.
Right.
If they do things correct. So instead of thinking, oh, man, they're going to drive down the field and score on us again, you actually, when the defense goes out there, you feel confident.
Well, and it's – and the only times, really, that TCU was moving the ball was when they were able to run the ball on first or second down. Yep. It wasn't a time where, you know, they throw for 9 yards on first down and then you're in second and one. Mm-hmm. And they're just, like, methodically moving the ball on Iowa State. Iowa State was consistently putting them into positions where it's third and 12, third and 13, third and 14. They did convert that one on, you know, inside the 40-yard line that turned into the fumble by Kenny Hill on the goal line. But they're just doing such a good job of playing – making offenses play behind the chains. It's what teams have done so good against Iowa State in the past couple of years, where Iowa State's consistently in these third and 12, third and 13 situations. Mm-hmm. That's what Iowa State's defense is doing to teams now.
Mm-hmm. And even beyond that, when they are getting into those third and 10 situations, they're not letting the teams pick those up either.
Right.
That's been a pain point even early in the season.
Well, I remember the one play where it was like third and 14, and they gave up like a 9-yard reception or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was like,
that's still acceptable.
Right, like they were completely fine with that. And, I mean, yeah, you give up 9 yards, but TCU had no other option, really, to just take 9 yards and hope that you had somebody make a play, because they're not going to give up anything down the field. Mm-hmm. Unless there's a break in coverage like there was on that one third and 13.
Yep. And another thing that stood out to me, too, is even when TCU was kind of gashing us for a few of those runs, a lot of it was because one of those drives, Joel Lannon came out with an injury, and they got a few runs on that. And then, of course, Ray Lehman was dealing with his back spasms there late in the game, too. And he's kind of our big defensive stopper in the middle.
Yeah, that and, I mean, anybody that watched CFTV Live today, Jeff Woody did a really good job of breaking down some of the errors that Iowa State – and as much as anything, it was Iowa State doing stuff to mess up. Mm-hmm. And TCU just took advantage of it, which is what a good team's going to do.
Yep.
And that's something that I – you know, John Haycock talked about it tonight. I think that they're really making a direct effort to – fix those mistakes that they made in that game, and I don't see them being as big of a problem where TCU's gashing them for 20 yards on some of those stretch plays like they did in the third and fourth quarter.
Yeah, it'll be something that they can get cleaned up for West Virginia.
For sure. Like I mentioned, the college football playoff, the initial college football playoff of 2017 came out earlier tonight. Iowa State at number 15. I don't know about you, but I was a little bit surprised to see them not be the number one two-loss team.
Yeah, Auburn is number 14.
Right.
And I believe that their two biggest wins were Mississippi State and I think there's another team. You remember? It was an SEC team.
I don't know.
I
know what you're talking about.
But anyways, it wasn't TCU and Oklahoma good. And then
I think they said their losses are better than Iowa State's. That's what made the difference. Which they have the one-point loss to Clemson, who was in the top four.
Yep.
I mean, I get it, but it's still, they still don't have that win that I think would set Iowa State above them.
Yeah, and I think if both teams continue to win, I think Iowa State will probably jump them, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Well, and especially because, I mean, if Iowa State won out, all of a sudden you've got a win over West Virginia, who's been in the top 25 the majority of the season. Mm-hmm. You have a win over Oklahoma State, who's in the top 10 right now.
Yep.
Or what were they, 11 maybe?
Yeah, 11.
Okay, so I mean, if they win this weekend, they'll be back in the top 10, you know. Get a win over Baylor and Kansas State, and then you go into a Big 12 championship game, which by then, Iowa State's probably in the top 10.
Yep.
So it wouldn't really matter either way. But I don't know. At this point, just keep winning because this poll doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter until the
last poll.
Right, the last poll. Yeah.
I was glad to see Oklahoma ranked ahead of Ohio State.
Yeah.
I was really wondering if Ohio State was going to get the bias there. Not that it really matters again, since it's not the final poll.
See, it was weird to me, though. They talk about how these losses, like how they're weighting these losses. It didn't make sense to me that Clemson, whose one loss is to Syracuse, and then Oklahoma's one loss is to Iowa State, who was in the poll.
Mm-hmm.
What, I don't get why, what it was that put Clemson ahead of them.
It's got to be Oklahoma's wins over these, you know, middling teams. They've been narrow wins, but at the same time, they're still W's.
Even then, I mean, Notre Dame is number 3, which I guess Georgia being number 1, the difference had to have been that they beat Notre Dame. That has to be the only thing. Which, who would have ever thought when that game happened that it would have this kind of ramifications?
I know. Georgia always chokes in the big games, it seems like, but not this year.
I was thinking about this when we were at interviews. I was like, I don't think I could name a single player on their team.
Nick Chubb?
Okay, yeah, Nick Chubb. But he's been there for like 15 years.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason we know him.
But, and Notre Dame's got that good running back now, too.
Oh, yeah, Josh Adams.
Yep.
Then their quarterback's name is Wimbush. You should know more of their players. I did go to one of their games, but...
Oh, that's true. You went, didn't you?
Yeah. That would be kind of cool if they won the national championship in the year that I went. But
that's right.
I don't think that's going to happen. I was just surprised to see Georgia ahead of Alabama, as much as anything.
Well, Alabama hasn't beaten anyone either.
No. See, and that's what makes this poll so stupid.
Like you got Alabama who hasn't beaten anyone and Wisconsin who hasn't beaten anyone, which I think Wisconsin is in the correct spot. They're like number 9, I believe.
Yeah, well, I think Miami and Wisconsin are like 8 or 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're both undefeated. Neither team has played anybody, which we'll talk about Miami later. That was my overlooked underdog.
Yeah, but at the same time, if those two teams are ranked there, Alabama's way up at number 2. You know, it's kind of like, well, they're Bama.
Right.
And they've been dominant in their wins, but still they haven't beaten anyone.
See, and that's so if Alabama loses a game.
Like, are they out?
Right. Are they out of the conversation? I feel like they won't just because they're Alabama. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
And isn't that so unfair?
Oh, yeah.
To a team like Oklahoma.
And see, I think, too, that's the difference between Auburn and Iowa State is that Auburn is still that brand, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And whether anybody, you know, on the playoff committee wants to put that into consideration or not, I still think that probably weighs on somebody's mind. Like, whether they want to admit that or not, you look at Iowa State and you look at Auburn, it's like, well, Auburn's got to be a better team. Like, that, you just because of what Auburn has been historically.
They've got the athletes. Surely right. Iowa State doesn't have the athletes of caliber that Auburn does.
Right. And that, I mean, I don't think that's really fair, but... Mm-hmm. I guess it is just what it is.
Yep.
Like I said, the poll doesn't really matter at the end of the day.
Yep.
They're number one, two loss team in the AP poll. That's what we're going to look at from now on.
Yep.
All right. We touched on this a little bit on Twitter. Lolo, stay down. We touched a little bit on this on Twitter during the game on Saturday, and this kind of became a topic of conversation after Kevontae Turpin took the opening kick of the second half back for a touchdown. The halftime reentry policy. I'd like to know where you stand on this, being the lifelong Iowa State fan.
Well, I read a thread on the forum today about this, and I kind of agree with the point that someone brought up. So you might think that a lot of these people aren't in their seats because they're outside, you know, drinking another beer or two.
Yeah.
But another point that was brought up was that a lot of these people are probably just waiting in line to get to the restroom and waiting in line for concessions. Because after we scored our first touchdown, I went ahead and I went to go get two hot chocolates at the concession stand. I was literally the first one in line, and I got there and I still had to wait 10 minutes just because they didn't have hot chocolate ready for me.
Yeah.
So it's like if you compound that with a billion people going at halftime, yeah, there's gonna be people just waiting there on the concourse waiting to get their food and go to the bathroom.
See, that's one of the problems, I guess, with Jack Trice Stadium is that there's just not many, like, vendors, you know?
Yeah.
Which is... It's tough to do. I mean, it would be tough to add anything just because of the layout of the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that compared to a lot of stadiums that I've been to, there's a lot fewer than there is at most.
Yeah. And I believe a lot of those people that work in the concessions are volunteer employees too.
Yeah.
So they're not necessarily going to be like, you know, snap every time.
Well, they even have that same problem at Hilton, I feel like, where they get really backed up at those places. And it's just because, like I said, like, there's only so many options that once, you know, a few people get there, then it just takes a long time because there's not that many options.
So, okay. So I've kind of derailed this. So let's say that gets cleaned up. Go back to the reentry policy itself. What's your opinion on the policy as it stands?
I mean, I agree with, like, I think you should be able to go out and go back in, and that you can do that anywhere. Like, that's obviously just something that is part of sports. Like, you expect people to, if they have to go back out, then you gotta let them back in by a certain point, you know. But I just don't understand. To me, I don't get the point, because I feel like a lot of people, I know the lots are right there, but most people are gonna have to walk a ways to get to their car. By the time you get there, you know, it's already almost been 10 minutes. You slam your beer. Halftime's already over. By the time you get back, it's a couple minutes even into the third quarter.
Yep.
So that's what my problem with it is it's that the lots being there is almost a luxury that's so good that I feel like people think that they're taking advantage of something, but they really aren't, because it still takes a while, that whole process, to be able to do that, you know?
Yeah. And the thing is, too, on a game like Saturday was, where it's so cold and you have people coming with these big parkas, you figure there's enough space in there that you can smuggle in a beer or two
right
underneath all your layers. So even if you blast through those, like, just bring one or two more, you know?
Well, and that's, yeah, I mean, that's one, like, that's kind of what I said on Twitter, you know, like, yeah. I was just making a joke like that, but it just doesn't, if you want to drink that bad during the game, I feel like that's what you should do. Like, mm-hmm. it shouldn't be, oh, I'm just going to go back out to my car at halftime. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that halftime's boring, but it only takes 15 minutes.
Yeah,
you know,
if you don't have enough time to make sure that you're back there in your seat at the beginning of the third quarter, then just, you know, put it on hold.
And I'm not saying that it's, you know, oh, the atmosphere was flat, and that's why Kevontae Turpin took the opening kick of the second half back. But there was a lot of empty seats when the third quarter started, and I think it was more noticeable because of the fact that the stadium was so full for the majority of the game that when you look out, you're like, damn, where'd everybody go?
Yeah, where is everyone?
Yeah. And it's like you said, obviously people are going to the restroom, all that kind of stuff. And there's no really easy fix to that outside of adding more, which is a complete, I mean, like, how, that's not just something that you just do.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. Like, I don't know what you can do to fix it at this point. I don't really know if you could even change it, because I don't think, I mean, it should come down to Iowa State fans should just want to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not that they don't want to be there. That's not what I'm trying to say. But you should want to be there to be loud. If the team gets the ball back, to keep the energy rocking.
I mean, if you're stuck waiting in line and you're doing everything that you can to get back in your seat and you still can't, you know, that's just life.
Yeah.
But if you have a choice to be back in your seat and you're purposely, you know, not hustling, then you're not helping the team, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't want to frame it that.
Don't go down the route that I'm calling these people bad fans and that, like, we're losing a game because of these people if they aren't back in their seat. But at the same time, it's like priorities.
I get exactly what you're saying, and I understand why people would have done it. Like, when the team wasn't any good, you know, it's like,
there's nothing better to do.
Right,
let's go pound a few beers.
Right, like, if they're gonna lose by 60 anyway, like, you might as well just go get drunker at halftime.
Yeah,
but when it's a big game, you've got the number 4 team in the country on the ropes. That's when it is to me where it's like, man, like, I'd rather just be sitting there waiting for the game, you know? And I don't know. Maybe that's just me because I don't know.
We're sports dudes.
Right. And the games that I went to growing up, you didn't have the option to just go to the lots because they weren't right there. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that's unique about Jack Trice Stadium is the fact that you can go right out to your car and it's not that far away more often than not.
If you're in one of the immediate lots, you can get out there in under 5 minutes.
Yeah. Depending on what, like, the flow of people is and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's just, yeah, like I said, I mean, I don't have, like, a hot take on it, but I feel like it's something that should be a topic of discussion, especially when it's a game that's big, like that one on Saturday was, like what Oklahoma State next week is going to be, you know, it just doesn't make so much sense to me.
So if your habit is predicated on a losing football team, we're no longer a losing football team. So maybe think about changing the habit.
That's what, going out to your or BS programs, about going to your car at halftime, and drinking beer.
There you go.
That's
good quote.
That's what I'll say.
That's what
I was trying to think of how to frame it without swearing.
Straight from Matt Campbell's mouth, right there.
Campbell, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody gave you crap for that for a while. It kind of slowed down, but all right. Looking ahead to West Virginia, I will say that we are having a game watch Saturday at
it's a red out,
at Whiskey River. I was just going to say, Casey informed me today that it would be a red out. So everybody get out there to Whiskey River. I don't know what our setup will be. Things were a little bit disjointed for the last one. Casey was kind of all over the place doing some stuff, and we obviously weren't able to be outside. They had a wedding or something going on. So hopefully it'll be a little bit more organized than it was for the previous one, which I'm sure that it will, because I think she's on top of making sure that it is.
As long as no one wants to get married or anything.
Why would anyone want to do that anyway?
I have no idea. Even though I got married literally like 3 months ago.
So Iowa State, West Virginia, Saturday at 2:30, Whiskey River. Come on out, hang out with us, have a few beers, and watch the Cyclones. But I've been saying it, and this is, I don't know, this kind of scares me. I'm not that worried about this game. Like, I'm not that scared of West Virginia.
I'm scared a little bit of their offense, but their defense is nothing compared to TCU or Oklahoma even.
Their defense is statistically really bad.
Yeah.
They give up like 300 yards rushing a game.
which not is good because we haven't been necessarily very good rushing the ball lately. So I feel like this is a break out of the slump for David Montgomery type of game for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. And I don't even think he's really been slumping. It's just that they've played some good rush defenses.
I feel like his ceiling is much higher than what he's shown recently.
I was talking to Jeff about this today where I told him, he was talking about how schematically West Virginia's defense is hard to run against. And I was like, Jeff, they give up like 300 yards rushing a game.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I'm just telling you schematically. And I was like, okay.
People must have figured it out.
I was like, well, I'm telling you statistically, they don't stop anyone.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know if their players aren't any good or what the deal is, but they don't stop the run. Like, that has been proven throughout the entire season. The only team that Kansas has been able to put up points on all year was West Virginia.
Mm-hmm. And that says something because Kansas sucks.
Right. Well, and Oklahoma State, I mean, West Virginia fought back in that game, still lost by double digits, you know? So, and I still think that Iowa State's defense going up against anybody at this point doesn't
work. You feel confident.
I feel confident because that defense is that good.
Yeah.
And they continue to get better every single week. That's what is so impressive about it.
If you slow down Oklahoma as much as they did for a half a game, slow down Texas Tech, slow down TCU, even a good offense like West Virginia, you feel like you can take care of.
Right, and I mean, I know Will Greer's a good quarterback. I know David Sills is a good receiver.
So is Baker Mayfield.
Do you know who David Sills is?
He's the wide receiver for...
Well, yeah, but you remember his story? Like, do you know anything about his story?
Mm.
He's the kid that committed to Lane Kiffin when he was in seventh grade to play quarterback.
Oh, really? Is that at USC?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and then he went to West Virginia and was a quarterback, and then they moved him to receiver because they liked what he did on the scout team, and he played in one or two games, and then they moved him back to quarterback, and then Will Greer came, and he transferred. And then he went to El Camino Community College and played with Ray Lima, was a teammate of Ray Lima's last year.
Really?
And now he's back at West Virginia as a receiver
again.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So I heard his name, or Rob was saying like how he was a former quarterback that committed to Lane Kiffin, and I was like, I thought about it again. I was like, wait, that's not the kid like that made the splash like back in the day, you know?
I remember reading that story.
Like the first kid that really, it was like, oh, he's 13 years old and he committed to USC.
Yeah, it was like the first of those stories.
Well, and it like ruined his life. I remember reading a Bleacher Report story about him last year that, you know, it put all this pressure on him and stuff like that. And he like felt like he had to be a superstar and ended up at West Virginia and he didn't really ever play. And, you know, goes to El Camino. He had an okay year, but then he just came back and played receiver. He's like, all right, I'm done playing quarterback.
And he is their leading receiver now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got 15 touchdowns already.
Dude, that's crazy.
It was crazy. He had 15 touchdowns and he caught them all in seven games. He didn't have one in this last game. So he's essentially averaging 2.5 touchdowns a game.
Mm-hmm. So he's good.
He's really good.
Probably match up with Brian Peavy, I would assume.
I would assume so. I don't think he's very big. I think he's more of a speed guy. I don't know. I haven't really watched West Virginia very much this year.
Mm-hmm.
But, their offense is pretty good. They got a good running back. But like I said, this game just doesn't scare me that much. I'm not saying Iowa State's going to win by 20 or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think Iowa State's going to be able to move the ball. And I think that Iowa State's defense is going to slow them down enough. Because I don't think Oklahoma State's defense is that good to where they put up, like, that's why they put up points on them.
Yep.
But I just don't see Iowa State giving up 30 points, 30, 40 points or anything like that.
Yeah, and the only thing that a little bit scares me is that Morgantown's another one of those weird places to play.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was going to bring this up later, but Iowa State hasn't lost a road game in over a year now. Like, their last road game loss was against Texas last year on, like, October, like, 12 or something like that.
That's crazy.
That is absolutely insane.
Well, they better keep that going. They got three more here coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's crazy where we're at, dude. Like, we just hoped that they would get to a bowl game.
But now they're at a bowl game. They're going for more.
Right. Now, Jeff and I were debating whether or not we wanted to go to Arizona or Texas.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like, where are you going to book your plane ticket to?
Right. He was like, well, I really hope they go to Texas so that I can drive there. I was like, okay, so you want to go to the Cotton Bowl? He was like, yeah. I was like, okay, well, I want to go to the Fiesta Bowl. So.
Oh, man. Lolo's going ham on this double bubble.
Yeah, she is crazy. That toy is deadly, dude. She threw it the other day and knocked over a bunch of stuff on the table.
Fitting that it's Halloween. She got her candy.
Yeah, it comes in her bark box.
That's right.
Get a little free advertisement for BarkBox. That's enough of that.
Future podcast sponsor.
All right. You've got your you want to talk about the secret scrimmage.
Yeah.
The basketball team.
So Iowa State, if you hadn't heard, it sounds like they lost to Nebraska in the quote-unquote secret scrimmage. I don't know if you've heard any more of the story, but Zoran Talley didn't play.
I don't know. Yeah, I haven't heard.
I haven't heard anything about that either. But so anyways, he didn't play, and I think they lost by 9 points or something like
that. Something like that. They were down by quite a bit.
Yeah. I think they lost one half by like 10 or so, and they won one half by like one point or something like that. So they played well on offense. So like they shot well from the floor, and they shot well from 3-point range, but they turned the ball over a little bit, which is kind of like you expect after losing Monty Morris isn't here anymore. And they fouled a lot.
See, and that's what I looked at my buddy showed me the stat sheet. He had it from somewhere, and I was looking at it, and I was like, I mean, really the only difference in the game is that Nebraska shot like 10 more free throws, made most of them, and they made 2 more 3-pointers. And that's really the only difference in the game.
Yep.
And I'm not that concerned because, I mean, I think those are things that you can clean up.
Yep.
But
I believe they got 6 more offensive rebounds than we did too. I think it was like 9-3 or something like that.
Yeah, they took quite a few more field goals. But so, it was just like there was not that much that it was like really discouraging because when he first told me they lost Nebraska, I looked at the sheet and I was like, well, there's not really anything here that's like terrible.
Yeah.
It's just there was a couple things here that
if you
cleared them up, they would probably win.
Yeah, if goodness gracious. Man. If they were going to have a problem, I would rather that they have a problem on defense and yeah, we're having an extreme low case here. But I would rather them have a problem on defense and have the fouling and the turnovers issue than having a trouble scoring the ball.
Right. Well, and that was definitely not a problem for either one of those teams. I think they both were. I think Nebraska scored close to 100, and then Iowa State was pretty close to the 90s.
So, being that Prome has some experience whipping teams into shape on defense, I think they'll be just fine.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, the other thing is, I don't think Nebraska's going to be terrible. I mean, I got in an argument with somebody on the forums about this one day. Mm. This is probably one of the more talented teams that Tim Miles will have had on paper just because, I mean, they've got a bunch of new guys that are pretty good recruits that were transfers and stuff like that. And they got this big guy that was a former 5-star that went to Georgetown and had been banged up pretty much the whole time he was there. So it's like, I think that they're not going to be – I think they got picked 13th in the Big Ten. I'd be surprised if they finished 13th in the Big Ten.
You think they'll be like a middle-of-the-pack team?
Yeah, probably. I mean, 10th, which isn't that much better. But,
but it's not 13th.
Right, it's not finishing second to last or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I wouldn't be overly concerned. It's just a scrimmage at the end of the day.
We'll be able to see live in person.
I was
going to
say, we'll know a lot – not a lot more, but in – we'll know a little bit more on Sunday, and then we'll know a lot more in a week and a half in Columbia, Missouri.
Yep.
Because that is going to be
a big test.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I said to Jeff today. There's the possibility that Iowa State football could have fewer losses at the end of November than Iowa State basketball.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Usually the comparison made is, oh, wow, Iowa State basketball already has more wins than the football team.
Right. And, like, if you lose to Missouri to start the season, you have to go to that tournament in South Carolina, which there's some teams you could lose to there.
Mm-hmm.
Not many. I mean, I think they should probably get into that championship. But
we play, obviously, Iowa. And I think we play UNI this year, too, don't we?
Yeah, but I don't know when those games are.
Those are in December. Yeah. But still, I mean, like, our non-conference isn't going to be, like, probably a one or a two lost non-conference. We're probably going to lose 3 or 4 or 5 games, I would think.
Just because, I mean, they play a pretty tough non-conference compared to a lot of teams just because you play those two in-state schools, you know.
And especially as a young team like this, it's a good thing to use your non-conference to get all the kinks worked out.
Right.
Like, it's going to be that type of season.
Well, and I think that's what they want it to be, you know. Like, you want to have a challenge. You learn more about your team if you have it be challenging, especially when you know you've got to play in the Big 12 later on in the year.
Mm.
All right, is that all you got for that?
Yep.
All right, what do you want to do you want to do a little something Halloween related here?
Yeah, I liked your idea of the irrational fears.
Chris and Ross talked about candy for like 45 minutes on Sports Fanatics today.
Oh, really?
So that's when I was like,
so you're candy
doing
out.
My stuff. And I was like, man, these guys talked about a lot of candy. I feel like if we sit here and talk about candy, people are just going to tune us out. All right. They haven't tuned us out already.
So
at this point.
No candy.
All right.
You get nothing.
So you want to do our top three irrational fears?
Sure. And okay. So when you say irrational fear, is it like, give me an example of your first irrational fear, so I know if we're on the same plane or not.
All right. This is gonna be really ironic. I am terrified of heights.
Okay. Yeah. So like, okay. So explain. Go into a little bit more detail.
Like I don't like tall buildings.
Okay.
Very much. I don't look out the window.
So
tall buildings.
I didn't put this as one of my irrational fears, but I too have a fear of heights. Is yours to the extent where like if you are on top of a tall building, like you like stay away from the edge?
No, like I'll look off the edge.
Okay.
But it's still just like it gives me like a weird feeling in my stomach.
See, that's,
you know?
Okay. That's how.
Because I'm like, damn, that's really far down.
Like I have to make sure I'm braced, like with like at least 3 points of contact, and then I'll like look over the edge, and I still have that like the butterfly feeling in my stomach.
Like I like riding roller coasters, but they really freak me out.
Yeah.
Because it's just like I'm like, damn, what if this thing broke right now?
Same. Like, you know? I'll get on them and after it's done, I'll be like, oh, that was so fun. But
right.
Like before, the build up is what scares you.
Well, and that's what, when I went to Vegas with my friend Ryan, we went on have you ever been to Vegas?
Yep.
The roller coaster at New York.
Yep.
And it's not like a big roller coaster, you know,
mm-hmm.
but I was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You can't even see this thing. Like, I don't even know what to expect.
And that one goes in and out of buildings and
right.
stuff.
Right. So I was just kind of freaking out. I was like, man, this freaks me out. But, I like to ride, like I said, I like to ride roller coasters, but when I'm at the top, like I'm looking off, I'm like, this thing's going to break. Like,
yeah.
That's all I'm thinking about is like, this thing's going to break. I'm dead. This is the last thing I'm ever going to know is riding on this stupid ass roller coaster.
Yeah.
And this is just going to be the end.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my first one. Heights.
That's a solid one. Okay, very very common, but very good. My first one is deep bodies of water. So like if it
like the ocean.
Yeah, like the ocean, or if it's even like a lake. If I can't see the bottom and I can't feel the bottom, then like it's like a fear of the unknown thing for me.
I can understand that.
Yeah, and I'm a pretty strong swimmer. Like I can tread water for a long time. Obviously, it's just. I don't know, something about it's always giving me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, I've never been out like on the ocean. So you're saying you don't want to go on a cruise?
Being on a cruise wouldn't bother me, I don't think. But being in like a smaller boat, since like a cruise is like a big floating landmass by all accounts. But if you're in a small boat and it's getting tossed around a little bit, I'd be a little bit freaked out.
Yeah, for sure. I would probably agree with that. This kind of ties in with heights, and I think it kind of fits on your deep body of water thing. But when I'm like way at the top on a plane, if there's a little bit of turbulence, I'm like,
it's the
same
down.
Thing. I was like, I'm going down. Like this is the end of my life, man. Like everything starts flashing before my eyes. I'm like, I need to get my phone out and text my people and tell them I love them before the plane goes down.
You start wondering, am I going to be that statistic?
Yeah.
I'm the 1%.
Right. So
that's your number two.
Yeah, I'll put that as my number two.
Okay.
Plane turbulence. There it is.
Let's see. I got to pull up my notes here. My number two is just, it's the typical like child thing. I'm afraid of needles. Like I avoid shots at all costs. Like I believe it was in Saw 2. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah.
One of the things is like this person gets thrown into this pit with a bunch of needles in it. And I know it's like completely fake and you know, it's all Hollywood, but at the same time, that was like the most gripping part of that movie for me, just because it's like that's one of my big fears.
Yeah, anytime that I like I'm gonna give blood, or if I have to get a vaccination something.
I've never given blood. I can't do it.
I look the other way and I just try to ignore it.
And I so want to like I absolutely like I'm not anti like saving people or anything like that. I just can't bring myself to do it.
I understand that. Yeah, I mean, I definitely understand that.
Mm.
All right, my third one is I have like a fear of almost anything that I do that I'm like gonna break my leg.
Okay, have you broken your leg before?
No, but it's just like if I'm gonna go play basketball, every time that I go, I'm like, one of the last things I think about is like, man, I hope I don't break my leg today.
Okay,
it's like I've played how many hours of basketball have I played in my life? I've never broken my leg.
Is it because that you've seen stuff like the Kevin Ware injury or like the Gordon Hayward injury?
I think that does play into it.
Mm.
You know, it's like I think those things are becoming more and more prevalent. To where them being on TV, it makes you think about it. But I don't know. It's just like when it's icy outside, like I always think about, man, like what if I broke my leg? Like that's just, yeah. That always is like on my mind. And I'm like, damn, then I'd have to have a boot and like all this different stuff for like a cast on
so
my
is
leg.
So is it specifically a broken leg or is it
Yeah, it's just my leg. Like if I broke my arm, like I wouldn't be that worried about it. Hmm. Well, I mean,
You like walking.
I would be worried about it, but like, yeah it would just, the broken leg thing, like that really freaks me out. I don't ever want to break my leg.
Okay.
That's why these fears are irrational.
Yeah. And this last one for me, is very irrational, and it's not even a fear. It's kind of like your plane thing. It's like something that I think about.
Yeah. It's just like that. See, and that's kind of what the breaking my leg thing is. It's just like the idea of breaking my leg. Yeah. Really freaks
you don't go out and
you're
think
like, about that often.
Yeah. You're not like walking out on your sidewalk thinking, oh gosh, like I'm scared of breaking my leg today.
Yeah.
But okay. So anyways, my third and final one, this stems from like 5 or 6 years ago. I saw this report on the news. It was during the winter of there's this threat of whenever you fill up with gas, if you create a spark, like static electricity, then like you can like blow up. And it's like they were just,
so you always make sure and extinguish or you touch some metal before you fill
like,
up the gas
tank. Literally every time I fill up now, I think about, man, I hope there's no static on me. And I make sure that like I ground myself anytime that I go to the gas station, like literally every time now.
You get over those kinds of things when you live in Southwest Iowa and you see people smoking cigarettes while they pump their gas.
Oh my gosh, that would make me anxious for sure.
That's like the...
Especially if you're the guy filling up next to the guy smoking a cigarette.
That's the ultimate Darwinism, where it's just like, you know...
Dude, if that fell out of your mouth into the wrong spot...
Right, we'd all be dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mess around with open flames anywhere near a gas, you know, a gas pump.
Those people have overlived their... I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the strong will survive.
Yeah.
The cream always rises to the top.
That's a good saying.
Eventually, we're going to hear about someone blowing up a gas station because they were smoking a cigarette.
And it's not going to be me.
And it will almost certainly be in, like, Shamba, Iowa or something like that, which no one has any idea where that is. But it's in between Clarendon, Missouri.
Now I know.
Actually, I don't think they have a gas station. Brattyville, Iowa.
I feel
that's
better
what,
knowing.
That's what I'll say. All right, so those are our irrational fears. Those people are going to make fun of us for those, I feel like.
Happy Halloween.
All right, hot knot. Let's start with our knots today.
Ooh, feeling spicy, huh?
Yeah. You go ahead and go first.
All right, I got to go down here to find my knot now. He threw me off. Okay, so going back to our conversation, we kind of had...
3-4 weeks in a row of talking about...
But we have... It's such
ESPN
a,
on stands
a,
and fits.
I know, it's such a big topic, though. So... If you hadn't heard, Iowa State's chances of getting College Game Day against Oklahoma State have kind of taken a little bit of a hit because they have decided to go to Bedlam this week between Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. So that makes it even more unlikely that they come for ISU-OSU, even if both teams this week, because you would figure that they probably wouldn't want to do 2 OSU games in a row.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can look back and they just did that with Penn State.
Yeah.
Like they just went to 2 consecutive Penn State games. So maybe they'll do the same thing, but at the same time, there's some really good matchups next week along with Iowa State, Oklahoma State. Like, you got Catholics versus Convicts, and I think a few others that they could go to, too. So
I think that Iowa State will probably still get a look, but it'll be – I don't think they'll get it.
I don't think so, too.
Yeah.
And that's kind of unfortunate.
I mean, they both have to win still, which is, you know, another thing.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of sucky because the ISU-TCU game was the literal perfect, like – situation, and if they hadn't been for Penn State, Ohio State, I think they probably would have come.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel bad now because this is exactly what I was worried about when, you know, you and I kind of talked about this when we heard about the College Ames Day sign going to Columbus. This is exactly what I was worried about, was just this kind of thing happening, which is completely out of everybody's control, you know, and then it's just like,
it fizzles.
Right. It fizzles because just all of a sudden it's like, damn, well, they already went to Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, what if they lose this weekend? Like, then it all is just, it feels like it's for naught, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, I want College Game Day to come as much as anybody, I feel like. But yeah, I mean, that's just kind of where I'm
like,
at.
Like, I would be there at 6 a.m.
It just felt like there were so many variables to it that could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those things where it's like, no one at Iowa State, nobody in Cyclone Nation could have any idea that they're thinking they're going to go to Bedlam the next week.
Yeah.
You know?
If they were at some random SEC game this week, I'd probably be like on the forefronts of Twitter being like, yeah, College Ames Day. Let's make it happen next
week.
But now this is like, they're already going to Oklahoma State this week.
It just feels like it would be not worth my energy.
Yeah.
You
agreed.
Know?
It's like, if they decide to come and I don't have to do anything about it, great.
I already got pissed about ESPN for 2 weeks. Like, yeah. I feel like after 2 weeks, I'm over it, you know? Screw it. Like,
yeah.
It's not like Iowa State hasn't gotten any recognition on the national stage at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all over the place.
Yep.
They're the biggest story in college football. Dennis Dodd was in Ames on Monday at Matt Campbell's press conference, walking all around the facility.
Yep.
Like, they are getting plenty of recognition at this point. Mm-hmm. They don't need College Game Day to, you know, get them on that stage.
Not to say we don't want it.
No.
But at the same time, yeah, they are getting the national attention that, you know, every fan craves too.
I feel like I just went like bitter ex-girlfriend mm-hmm. on that. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you know, it'd be cool to get him back, but it's, I don't care if we don't. You
I
know,
totally don't care.
Whatever. Yeah, it's cool.
I'm so better off without them.
Oh man.
All right. So all right. Move on to yours.
Mine not. I assume you heard about this.
I did.
Yelling at replay officials in the press box. I'm not going to name any names, but the son of a head coach that happens to be an offensive coordinator for a school east of Iowa State was very unhappy with the replay officials during their game on Saturday, and it was seen by media members, and he has since been reprimanded, I think, by the Big Ten, multiple times by his dad.
Wait, is this a Big Ten school you're talking about?
Multiple times by his dad, and has had multiple scathing columns written about him by some people that don't often write scathing columns of this school.
Yeah.
Very not hot. Very not hot. That is what I'll say about that.
And the funny thing too was I saw a lot of Iowa fans saying, well, you know, the quote that's been around about Iowa State on Twitter, that Campbell, that we brought up earlier in the game, you know,
yeah,
BS programs care about 6-6. All the Iowa fans are saying, wow, this Coach Campbell can use expletives, but this coach from a team that's east of Iowa State cannot.
There's also a difference between being in the locker room giving a speech
mm-hmm.
and being
and using it in a good in, like in a good positive right, manner in
the
way.
Press box in like direct earshot of media members
and using it in an anger in, at an
yeah,
official
yeah using it like derogatorily
mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a way to even use that
completely
word,
different and totally unacceptable, and he should probably just be fired from his position, honestly.
Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what's gonna happen. But
that was sarcastic,
it's just funny
still.
To me that could the first year for Brian Ferentz be like any more, I don't know, not bad, but he's done some pretty stupid stuff, if
Zany.
We're gonna be completely like honest.
Yeah,
like he already kind of had an uphill battle being the coach's son, like getting that job. But almost your first order of business is to come on the radio and do the thing about the recruiting.
Mm. Team out or the guys' names.
Right. And then your offense isn't exactly tearing it up on the field.
Mm.
And then you have this deal. Like that just is, that's a rough first year.
There's a lot of tallies.
There's not many offensive coordinators that are held to that standard that are going to be like in the news like that.
Yep.
But he should know that that's also going to be a story because of who he is.
There's a lot of tallies in his derogatory column right now. And he's doing them himself.
Yeah, and there's not very many in the positive one.
Yep.
That's all I have to say about that.
It's a good thing to say.
That's a not hot.
Yep. All right, so now we're going back to our positive, ending on the positives now. So my hot this week is the Iowa State cross country teams. So the men and the women both brought home a conference title on Saturday. And for those of you wondering, the next meet for both squads is the NCAA Midwest Regional, and that'll take place in Ames on November 10. And I believe that's at noon.
Are you going to be out there cheering them on?
You know, if I didn't have to, well, let's see. It's a Friday.
Yeah.
So if I didn't have to work, maybe. But we'll see.
I know my guy Eric Charter will be out there.
He's like the world's biggest track and
field fan. He is the Iowa State track and cross country super fan.
Yeah, he is.
So if you want to go out and hang out with him, I guarantee he'll be out there. And I guarantee you he will show you the ropes of watching cross country.
And
I've been to a cross country meet, not a college one, but a high school one. They are not very fun to watch, I'll just say that.
I did 4 years of cross country in high school.
You did?
Yeah.
Were you good?
No. Oh, I was always the like 7th or 8th like borderline varsity guy.
Uh-huh.
So I was like the half ass kind of guy.
Yeah. I went to cross country practice for 2 days before my sophomore year of high school.
And did you quit after two days?
Yeah, I didn't. It's the only, like, the only thing that I ever started. Yeah, like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And then I was like, no, I'm not going to do this.
The thing is, too, about cross country, like, if you're not in shape, the first week is total hell.
Yeah.
And then after that, you kind of just get like, eh, it's just another run.
Well, like, I was a sprinter in track. So then all of a sudden, I was a sophomore in high school. So I wasn't quite as entrenched in that.
Yeah.
But, like, they would be running these miles and stuff like that, and I'm just not that kind of runner. Even when I got to Simpson, we had to – this is so stupid, but we had to run the mile every Tuesday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was like – I mean, I know – okay, I'm not even going to go off on that tangent. Like, that's a whole other story for another time.
It's just not the Stansbury
No, and that's not – that's just not – like, at that point, I was in shape to run on a basketball court and not run a mile on a track.
Yeah.
And so – and but even then, you'd run the mile, and then we'd run 8 200s timed right after that. So you'd run another mile in 200-meter sprints, which I could do that fine.
Yeah.
Because I could do the sprints.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do, like, the prolonged running for an extended period of time.
I gotcha.
Which I'm just making myself sound like such a
a
baby right now. But,
It just makes what those high-level cross-country runners do so amazing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like,
I have a lot of respect for those people.
Like, I mean, again, I was decent in high school, but not even close. Like, seriously, not even close to what these collegiate athletes can do. Like, they run, you know, sub-five-minute miles
right.
going, you know, however long they go. It's just insane how they can keep the pace that they do.
All right, my hot is the Stranger Things kids. Have you watched Stranger Things?
I have. I've binged the full second season already.
Oh, my gosh. It was phenomenal. I don't want to give any spoilers.
We can't give any spoilers.
But it was I will go out on a limb and say it was better than season one.
It's a tough one for me. I think they both had parts that made them good. You could argue one or the other, I'll say.
I thought it was awesome. I finished it last night. It's phenomenal. I can't wait for number three now. They ended it perfectly. That's all I'll say.
They did. They left it open for multiple seasons afterwards.
Those kids just made me so happy, though. Like, I love them
all. I wish we could go into detail, but yeah, we probably shouldn't.
I just love them all. Yeah. All right, overlooked underdogs. I'm on a roll. Two in a row,
You are.
I think I might have even have like...
You've had like four or five now.
I've had like four or five or three or four or something like that. Boston College destroyed Florida State. Jimbo Fisher all of a sudden is on the kind of on the hot seat.
He is.
Almost.
They're 2-5, I believe.
And you had Minnesota, right?
Yeah, I had Minnesota over Iowa, and the Iowa won by touchdown.
Have you won one yet this year?
Yeah, I won. I picked Oklahoma State over Ohio State.
Okay, that's right.
Or Oklahoma over Ohio State. Yeah, sorry.
As I mentioned earlier on in the show, I have Miami +2.5 over Virginia Tech. Miami undefeated, has not played hardly anybody so far this season. This will be a good chance for them to prove that they are the real deal at home against a good Virginia Tech team.
I like that pick. And my pick was I went with Iowa State over West Virginia. I hope this doesn't jinx the clones, but this would be an obvious pick even if I weren't an Iowa State fan.
I think that line's actually down to 2. I will tell
you.
Is it? Yeah, I saw that earlier.
So even better, I'll take Iowa State to win outright. Again, they haven't lost a road game in a long time, and they've played and beat teams that are better than West Virginia.
All right. Let's do our bad beer. This is by far our longest podcast we've done, so we're going to do that quick. I'm going to have you plug in my computer, too. It's almost dead.
Oh, where's the plug-in? This is a brief find the charger plug-in. Okay, here. So Jared prefaced this by saying that this would be the worst beer in a while on Twitter before we came on here, and I am going to take him at his word. I'm expecting it to be Ice House caliber, but we'll find out. Lolo's been running around like a madman this entire time. So, I'm thinking... So, it's coming in a plastic bag here. I don't really know what to expect.
I want to set a new rule for the bad beer purchases. We should just buy one.
Okay.
Because every week, I end up with just two beers that have, like, one drink taken out of them.
Yeah.
You usually dump yours out, but...
Yeah.
I'll sit here and do more work, and then it just sits here, and... they just sit there because we don't drink any more of them than what. So we're just going to buy one from that one.
Sounds good.
This is called Earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
High gravity lager. Got it at the Casey's in Slater.
Mm-hmm.
It has 10% alcohol by volume, and it costs $1.97.
Nice. So the question is this related to the hurricane?
It was in the same vicinity? Okay, so this is what I was thinking that it actually was hurricane when I saw the can.
Mm.
This is like tucked all the way in the bottom of the like big can section at Casey's. This is as deep in the big can section as you can possibly get at the Casey's in Slater.
So, well, oh my gosh, I just noticed that's 10% alcohol by volume.
Yeah.
Whew.
So this is some potent stuff. That's all I will say.
Hiding in the back of the cans.
I'll give you a nice.
And now we can see the pour too. You're pouring out in the glass. It looks like
Bud Light.
It does.
I have no idea what to expect from this.
I'm gonna smell it now that we have a glass.
It is from Drink 4 Brewing Company, which I don't know what Drink 4 Brewing Company makes, but I feel like they probably make something else.
Quickly Googles.
As soon as I said that this is the same company that makes Four Locos.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Huh.
So no wonder it's 10%, I guess. But
that actually explains like the look on the outside.
Man, I have a feeling this is going to be real bad.
Here we go.
That tastes like straight alcohol.
Yeah.
That is really
straight alcohol.
That is really bad.
Rubbing alcohol.
Yeah. It's like if you... I know you'd said you'd never had a Four Loko, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you took the fruit flavoring out of a Four Loko and put like fake beer flavoring in, mm-hmm. this is what you would get.
I would agree with that. Not having ever had Four Loko. For me, it's... What I drink most is I either drink beer or I drink some kind of vodka.
Yeah.
Just because that's what we have in the house with my wife. And the aftertaste is a little bit more like vodka just because of the higher alcohol content.
I was going to say, it's like if you took a Bud Light and poured a shot of Hawkeye in it.
Yeah. Yes.
And then mixed it. And it's like...
Yeah. That's actually a really good
description. Dude, this might be the worst one we've had.
I see. For me, it's still better than the Ice House, just because the Ice House for me was so bitter and off-putting with its aftertaste, like its beer taste. But yeah, the alcohol part of this makes it bad.
Yeah, like this is
the beer part needs to be stronger. I feel like the beer part itself, or like what attempts to be a beer part, isn't that bad. But it isn't good. You're right.
I can't. Oh man,
that's a bitter beer face going on right now.
That's really bad, dude. Oh.
So I think I gave the Ice House, I think I gave it a 0.3 on our scale.
I wish I would have not given it a negative on the scale. That's where I messed up.
Because you're going more negative now.
Yeah. Well.
But for me, I'll give this one a 0.8. It's not good. It's not as bad as the Ice House, in my opinion.
This breaks the scale. Like this,
you really don't like this.
This
beer.
Breaks the scale. All
right.
I told you this would be a Hall of Famer. Like this is, I knew. I just saw the can. And I was like, this is gonna be really bad.
I'm thinking.
See, that's when you know that we're getting good at this is when you just look at the can and you're like, yeah, this is gonna be terrible.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it a zero.
Okay.
A flat zero.
So are you bumping up your Ice House then?
Yeah, I'll give an Ice House a 0.1.
Okay.
And I'll give this a zero.
Man. So somewhere down the line, you're going to get a beer that's like between those two beers, and it's going to be 0.05. Can't wait for that.
That is so bad, dude. Oh, man. But this Exile...
is not bad.
Mosaic Crown. I'll wash it down.
Good decision.
Gets a 10 out of 10 on the good beer scale. 100% for certain. Exile is the presenting sponsor of Stands and Fits every week. I hope everybody made it to the 53rd minute of this podcast. We talked a lot about a lot of different things. This might be the most topics we've ever covered in one podcast.
Let us know your irrational fears so we don't feel like we're the only ones with these weird fears.
Yeah, put them on the forums. We need more conversation about our takes on the forums than just our bad beers.
Literally,
yeah.
Everyone wants to talk about the bad beers. But
see, but I feel like that means that we had a good idea, that we keep tasting the bad beers.
Yeah. And it says to me that people agree with our sports takes, which is good. We're no Skip Bayless.
Either that or our takes are so bad that they just ignore them.
Yeah, one or the other.
Or they skip to the end to just get the beer.
Let's assume the former.
Yeah. All right, thanks, man, for coming in. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to you guys next week, and beat the Mountaineers.